Amen. Well, I am happy to have the opportunity to preach again and stand before you so soon. And thank you all for coming. I know you saw me in the bulletin probably, and you chose to show up anyway, and so that's a blessing. Appreciate you. I am thankful to Pastor for the opportunity to preach while he's away, and thankful to be here with you all. I want to be an encouragement tonight, and so my prayer is that the message is this is just that. I know that it was an encouragement to me in the study, and so if you leave thinking, well, that wasn't an encouragement, then that's okay. It was an encouragement to me just studying it, and so it was a blessing. Moment of transparency. We are in the book of Acts in the teen Sunday school, and so we were working through Acts, and my process is this. Every time I study for a message, I work on my computer and save it and then open it up on my iPad, through Pages, and it's there. It's never not been there, and so never doubted it, right? But got up this morning, got to the podium, and went to open my iPad, and I could not find my notes, and so I like searched and searched, and they weren't there. They were like raptured out, like they weren't anywhere in the folder. They were gone, like without a trace. And so for a couple seconds, I tried to find it on my phone, and thought maybe I'll use my phone as my notes, and could not find it. And so we're talking about prayer there, and I'm talking like prayer life made real. It was there. And so if you saw me just a couple seconds ago, I probably checked my iPad maybe four or five times to make sure they're still there. They're still there. So turn with me if you would. Book of Ezekiel. That's where we'll be today. Ezekiel chapter 3. The title of the message for us to consider tonight is Good News or Bad News? What is our responsibility? Good news or bad news? What's our responsibility? Ezekiel, so one of the big ones in the middle-ish area, right before where we were this morning, actually. So Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Go ahead and stand with me, if you would, to honor God's word as we read together. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4. And we'll read down to verse 11. The Bible says this. And he, so that's God, and he said to me, and that's the prophet Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Let's pray one more time and ask the Lord's blessing on the message we have before us. Lord, Father, I ask for your help and your strength. Lord, I know and believe that you have something for us to hear tonight, something you want every one of us to consider. And I believe it's here in this text that you've given. And so I pray that you'd help me to communicate clearly what you have for us. Lord, that you would help my words to be your words and not mine. And that this message would be yours and not mine, Lord, that you'd speak to us, and that every one of us would be able to leave and walk out saying, we've heard from you, Lord, and that we would respond right to whatever it is you would speak to us in. And again, Father, thank you so much for bringing us here to your house on this night, Lord, for your glory and for your honors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, if someone says to you, someone says, I've got good news and bad news. Which do you want first? Raise your hand if you want the bad news first. Okay. Okay. Hands down. Raise your hand if you want the good news. Okay. Couple people. Most people will say I want the bad news because maybe the good news will make up for it. And I'm shocked that there are so many hands that went up for good news. I feel like probably if you want good news first, you're the kind of person who eats dessert before you eat dinner. Like you can't wait. I don't know. So most of us will want the bad news first. Because maybe the good news will make up for it. We want the bad news first, but if we're honest and transparent, we don't want bad news at all. No one wants bad news. We don't want to receive it. We don't want to deliver it. There are whole medical classes about just delivering bad news to people. We don't want to deliver bad news to it. We don't want to get it. We don't want to give it. We don't want to be around. Have you ever been around someone when they receive bad news? I mean, just that awkward feeling of being out of place. We don't like bad news. We don't want anything to do with it. The prophet Ezekiel, he has the what seems like the unfortunate task of delivering some very unfortunate news to the children of Israel, some hard to hear truths. Here's the situation. Ezekiel was a prophet who he'd been living in Jerusalem. We don't know if he was a prophet before, but he was living in Jerusalem when the nation of Babylon descended upon Jerusalem. And just like the beginning of Daniel, they carried away captives of people in Jerusalem, of God's people. We find out in the prophets that this nation was sent by God as judgment on his people. And so they came and destroyed and removed people. And so Ezekiel was one of those people. He's taken from his homeland, dropped into the nation of Babylon. And when the book opens up, we find Ezekiel there right outside a refuge camp with other people. And the Bible says that he's by this river, the river called Kibar, and he's there and he sees this incredible vision. Almost out of nowhere. So 5 years into the captivity, 5 years there removed from Jerusalem, and God gives him this incredible vision. And I mean, it is incredible. He sees four strange creatures. These creatures like he never seen before, connected by their wings, and each of them four wings and four faces, the face of a human and of a lion, of an ox and of an eagle. I mean, strange visions. And each of them above a wheel. And then above the creatures, there's a platform, and above the platform, there's this throne. And Ezekiel looks and he sees, almost as if his vision's going up, and on this throne, he sees this fiery figure, clothed in fire and glory, and he realizes, what I'm looking at, this is the throne of God, and this is God's glory. He calls it an appearance like of the glory of the Lord. And then throughout the rest of the book, Ezekiel sees and experiences very different and what would be strange to us, visions and prophecies, and I'm not going to begin to try to get into some of those and what they all mean, because I'd be lost. And so this isn't one of those deals where, you know, we'll preach through Ezekiel every time I get the opportunity to preach. I don't know if, unless the Lord leads it that way, but I would be lost there. And so what we are going to consider today is not his message, not even the prophecies and the visions that you've seen, but we're going to look at his call, at the call of Ezekiel, because it's in this call that Ezekiel receives the news that no preacher ever wants to hear, and no one who ever delivers a message wants to hear. News that would seem very discouraging, maybe very depressing, but in actuality, it's not. It's actually great news. I mean, maybe we don't realize it at first. Maybe we wouldn't agree at first. But here's the call to go to a rebellious people. Ezekiel, go to a rebellious people. God called the prophet to go to this rebellious people who would not listen. Look in verses 4 through 7. Ezekiel is called to go to his own people in his own language, a people close to himself. It's not like he's called to go to some foreign nation or learn some different language, some hard language to understand. Not of strange speech is what the Bible says. Language, not strange, not foreign. It's familiar to Ezekiel. He knows it. It's not a hard language. He doesn't have to learn it. It's in his mouth already. But God says, if you were called to go to those people, if I called you to go to some foreign land with some foreign language, if I called you to those people, they probably would have listened. That the people you're called to go to, though they're not foreign, they don't have a foreign language, but at least those people would have heard you. He says, these people, the people of Israel, God's people, the people who are familiar with God and his word and his works, these people, they're going to reject the message. They won't hear it. The people of Israel would reject Ezekiel's message. And then God says this, because they're going to reject God. Look in verse 6. Read it with me. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken. They won't listen. We'll talk about that word. They won't listen unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They're impudent. They're hard-hearted. And so he's supposed to go there, but God tells him, you're not going to listen. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear you. I tell you, that's the news no preacher ever wants to hear. Can you imagine studying for a message and getting up and knowing beforehand there's an empty altars. No one's going to respond. Not even will people not respond. They'll be against the message. They won't want to hear it. They'll be completely against it. But that's what Ezekiel was called to do. The Bible says that the people of Israel, they wouldn't hearken. That word, it's interesting, and we're going to study it. We're going to talk about it because Hebrew is it's a hard and strange language to us. We don't speak it. It is foreign. But that word hearken, it just means this, to listen in obedience, to listen in obedience, to hear and to do in response. That's important because in their language, you can't listen and not do. If you heard and you didn't do, then you didn't hear. And so God says, look, they're not going to listen. There's going to be a message that's going to be delivered to them, a message from God. They're going to reject it, not because they're just rejecting Ezekiel, but they're going to reject it because they're rejecting me. And they won't hearken. They won't listen. They won't hear and do. But why? It's because of their hard hearts, because of their impudence. The Bible says this, that you're called to go to those people, Ezekiel, but they're impudent and hard-hearted. It means this, that they're stubborn. They're unwilling to be moved, to be directed. That they're it's like this, that they're set in their ways. They won't be moved. And so imagine, right, Ezekiel, most people believe he's about 30, and so he's pretty young, just starting out, not old at all. I celebrated my 30th birthday back in June. And so Ezekiel's there, right? And all of a sudden, he gets this vision from God. And God says, Ezekiel, he sees God's glory. And God says to him, Ezekiel, I'm calling you to my purpose, to my call, and you are to go to these people. But they're not going to hear you. They're not going to listen. They're not going to respond. They'll reject it. They'll fight against it because they're stubborn. They're impudent. They won't want to hear. God calls Ezekiel to these stubborn people. But here's encouraging news. God tells him in verse 8 and 9, God tells him that he's equipped him for that message. He's equipped him for the people. The Bible says that God strengthened him. God strengthened Ezekiel. And he says this, like your forehead, this is strange. Like I've made your forehead adamant. The idea is like two rams butting against each other, and the weaker one would lose. God says, I've strengthened your face against their face because there's going to be some conflict. They're not going to accept the message. They're going to fight against it like two rams on a hill. They'd fight against it. But God says to Ezekiel, look, I've strengthened you. I've given you strength, and I've made your face hard like adamant would be like metal and hard as flint, he says. Like stone, God says to Ezekiel, you're equipped for it. It's a hard task. It's not going to be easy. They're not going to listen. It's going to be very difficult, but I've equipped you for it. He says, I've strengthened you. And because of God's strengthening, in verse 9, God says to him, don't be dismayed. Don't be disheartened. Don't be depressed. Don't be fearful at their faces. He says, I've strengthened you. Don't be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. They're not going to listen to you. It is all great news for Ezekiel, like starting out in his prophet journey. You're going to go to a people, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to reject the message. They're going to reject me. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be enjoyable maybe, but listen, I've strengthened you, and I've given you the ability, I've equipped you with the ability to do the task. Like you've been made harder than flint, and like metal, your forehead strengthened against the conflict. And then he says this, the task was to take God's word to him, but he tells them, he says this, tell them what I say. And this is an important part for Ezekiel, because God tells them to tell them his words, but Ezekiel has to receive the words first. Look in verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart. Receive them in thy heart. Take them in and hear with thine ears. That's that same word that you're to hear and do. So not only is Ezekiel's message for the people of Israel and for the people in the captivity, for people who won't listen, but that message is for Ezekiel too. And God says to him, Ezekiel, before you go and before you deliver the message, before you take this message to people who won't listen, you've got to take it in yourself, take it into your heart and receive it in your ears. Listen and do. And go. Verse 11, and go. Get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they'll hear or whether they will forbear. So listen, your job is to go, he says to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, your job is to go. They're not going to listen. It's going to be difficult. There are going to be obstacles. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be some butting of heads, but I've strengthened you for the task. It's not an easy task. It's a difficult task, but I've equipped you for that. And before you take this word to them, take it in yourself. Okay, so why is that encouraging? It doesn't seem encouraging. Like, they're not going to listen. Ezekiel probably would, through his marriage ministry, he would think this, I'm a failure, right? I mean, that's what you would, I mean, can you imagine a doctor and losing every patient, or a construction worker or an architect building a building and every building collapsing? I mean, if the purpose of a prophet and of a preacher is to incite like repentance in people, then no doubt Ezekiel, he would have felt like a failure. Delivering a message no one's going to hear, no one's going to listen to. I mean, like a teacher teaching a class and everyone failing repeatedly. I can't imagine the sense of failure that Ezekiel would have had. And so why is this? How is this message encouraging? It's encouraging because it was not Ezekiel's job to change people. That's not what he was called to. It wasn't Ezekiel's job to make the entire nation of Israel repent. It was not Ezekiel's job to turn Israel and to turn God's people back to him. That wasn't Ezekiel's job. It wasn't Ezekiel's job to change the hearts of people. It wasn't Ezekiel's job to do those things. No, all Ezekiel's job was to do this. Go and tell them. Go and tell them. God called this prophet to rebellious people, and he did not call Ezekiel to make results happen. No, he just called him to obedience. He called him to obedience. And we, like you and I, we're called to that same thing. God has not called us to results. He's called us to obedience. Whatever God's call on your life is, it is not. It's not to see results. His call on your life is for obedience. And I think, like, my first thought is the culture that we're living in. Because we are living in a world and in a culture that's like inundated with sin. And this is encouraging because though we live in like a society that has convinced themselves that they're very educated, a so-called postmodern society, and very accepting society, believe what you want. Everyone's accepted. What they're really saying is that we're familiar. We're familiar with the message of Christianity. We know what the Bible says, and we know that God, but we want to reject it. And so, I think it's encouraging that my job is not to change people. My job is just to deliver the message. That though we're called to witness to these people, and I mean, chances are, right, with everyone on the street, it could seem very discouraging. I mean, have you ever been door knocking or out witnessing to people and door after door slammed in your face or person after person, house after house, rejection after rejection? And you could think, man, if my job is to bring people in, then I'm failing. But that's not your job. That's God's job. Your job is to go in obedience. And I think maybe you work on a bus and week after week, you're there early and you get back late. After the morning service, from picking kids up and taking kids home, and I mean, I've ridden the buses before, and not every kid is like agreeable, and I mean, you could probably say a lot of them are hard-headed. That's what Israel was, that they're hard-headed, they're stubborn, they're stuck in their ways. We got some kids over here stuck in their ways, and they're stubborn, they're hard-headed. And so you could think, as a bus worker, as a bus captain, you could think, man, my job is to bring these kids into church and for their lives to be changed. I'm supposed to see their lives changed. Right, they're supposed to be different people. And so if that's the goal, if you think that that's your job, then week after week, it could be discouraging because week after week, you may not see a change in their activities. You may not see a change in their action or in their language. And so you could be tempted to think, man, I'm a failure. There's no change. Maybe you work over there in primary church or in junior church, and you, every week, you teach and you minister to second graders and third graders, and you're trying, you're pouring your heart into a lesson for them to understand and for them to get just some Bible truth so they can walk away and say, no, I know that the Bible is real, or I know who Jesus is, I know what Jesus has done. Or you witness to someone day after day, week after week, someone close to you, maybe your family, you witness to them and you tell them the gospel, and you know in your heart that the gospel is real because you've experienced the change that it brings. And so you would think, you could think, I could think that, no, my job is to get people saved. And so I tell them the message, but no one listens, no one receives it. And so you could think, man, I'm a failure. Maybe there's a parent to teenagers. And I mean, teenagers have a reputation for being hard-headed. No offense, it's the reputation. And maybe you're trying your very best, and you're pouring all of your energy into raising a godly seed and a godly heritage, and you try to dispense wisdom to them and show them how the Bible applies, or you try to correct them and guide them, but they keep on in their stubborn way. And you could think, if my job as a parent is to produce godly children or to help my children and to guide my children, to make sure they stay on the right path, if my job as a parent is to produce godliness and righteousness in my children, then I'm not seeing the results. I'm a failure. Maybe you're a parent at all, not just of teenagers, but I know we got some toddlers and young kids. Parenting's hard at any age, right? I mean, I don't have teenagers, and so I can only imagine they would get more complicated. But you might think, as a parent to like a 2 or 3 or 4 year old, that this is difficult. And training a child, it's not easy, and it's tiring work, and it takes a lot of perseverance. And I mean, it might seem like you are talking to someone who's foreign and of a strange language and of a strange tongue, because they're hard to understand at that age. Or maybe you're a mom of a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year old of a young child, and you might want to go to a people of a foreign language. You might want to go to a foreign country because it's difficult, right? It's hard. But your job's not the results. Your responsibility is not the results. Your responsibility is not to see results, to see change in people. That's not your job. That's not your realm. It's not what you're to do. Now, Ezekiel tells us our job is not results. Our job is just obedience. You're just to go. You're just to go and do and obey. And you leave the rest in God's hands. If your job is to raise godly children or to help a teenager walk in wisdom, if that's your job to make this person make godly decisions, then we can never do it anyway. That's outside of our power. But it's not outside of God's power. God's the one who handles results. We're not called to bring results, and thank goodness, because we would never be able to do it. We can never make it happen. No, our call is not to just go and change people. Our call is just to go. I love what Michael Jones says back at camp. Do y'all remember this? He said this: the definition of success, he says, is knowing God's will and doing that. That's the definition. The call is obedience. The call is not results. And so Ezekiel was called to a difficult task. People wouldn't listen. He would see no change. There wouldn't be repentance. And so how is that encouraging? Well, it's encouraging because Ezekiel, he wasn't going to bring that change anyway. You know, Ezekiel's only job was to go in obedience. And that's encouraging to me, because you and I, we may not see the results. We may not see the change. We may not see what we're looking for. But we've got to remember this. Our call is not results. We're not called to results. Success isn't seeing results. Success is just obeying God. We've done our duty when we obey God. Success is knowing God's will and doing that. Hope that was an encouragement to you. Let's pray.